And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, like a slave all day. Here come Tuesday.
All right, hold on, Fats. We're not into Tuesday. It's still Blue Monday. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Remember last Wednesday I did a show on psychedelic horror stories? You figured, what's he talking about? Psychedelics are good for you. After all, the government puts out the message that alcohol's bad and drugs are good. Banker jumped to his death this morning, yesterday, after eating magic mushrooms. Welcome to the show. Terrible story. New York City, bright kid, Alex Slagowitz, jumps to his death out of his 26th floor luxury Manhattan apartment after eating magic mushrooms. Kid is from Livingston, New Jersey, was a star golfer on the Colgate University team, took 4 grams of the magic mushrooms. His roommate, Max Kaplan, arrested, charged with criminal possession of a controlled substance for the remaining mushrooms found inside the apartment. This is a lost life because of the drug society we're living in. Now, when I began this morning, I thought, well, what can I do today that would be of interest to the audience? That's what I do every day. So I thought that we should talk about the post, I want to get it just right, the post-legal age that we're living in. That's what I thought of. Because of Obama breaking virtually every law he could get away with in order to advance the socialist agenda, he's not so much a socialist as he is a power-mad man, using socialism as a tool to advance his own power. But the question I asked myself that I was going to ask you is this. In this post-legal age, which crimes should be legalized? Should prostitution, for example, be legalized? Should all drugs be legalized? And why am I coming to this? Because I said we're living in a post-legal age. As a result of this criminal administration, a man who has virtually decriminalized virtually every crime, with the exception of homophobia and invented racism, what is left is a crime. And so I ask you, the audience, which crimes in America today should not really be crimes? Should prostitution be legalized? Should all drugs be legalized? So listeners of the Savage Nation, since we are now living in a post-legal America where the law itself has been perverted and destroyed, which of the remaining vices, so-called, and crimes should be legalized? Was the first question I had. Then I went on the Larry King show. He's on a small television network, Aura TV, which is broadcast on RT television and other places. I happen to admire Larry King enormously. He's a liberal, of course. From his age, all men of that age who were thoughtful were generally liberals, especially if they had been poor. Let me be very clear about that. He was poor. I'm not qualifying or justifying his liberalism, but he's a liberal of the classic type, meaning he's not a fanatical, vicious Bernie Sanders progressive, okay? So now listen to this. I was supposed to have been on the Larry King show last week to promote my book, Teddy and Me. I got a little under the weather. I had to cancel a day before. I felt bad about it. I had to cancel it. So I did. So they said, when can you come on? I never answered them. So they called me and said, could you please come on again? I never answered them. Larry called me personally last week, and I said, sure, I'll be on Larry Monday. So I went on the show this morning, and I did the show, and it was supposed to be all about Teddy and me, right? But it wasn't. The first 20 minutes were all about Donald Trump. Now, I suspected it wouldn't be 100% about the dog book. I didn't think Larry was that much of a canine lover. And I figured his show was called Politicking. He'd want to ask me a few political questions, but no, it was 20 minutes of a grueling series of very pointedly attack questions, you know, making me try to defend Donald Trump, written for him by people because he kept reading the questions. No matter what I asked, he had a ready answer for the statement I made and asked the next question. And we're going to play that tape for you, the raw, unedited version later, just as an exercise in what it's like to be in the media. I don't know how I did. I think I did well because I answered the questions as honestly as I felt I could. It was simple as that. So I'll have that for you on the show today. I also got a nice email that I never expected. People are putting down, they're saying, oh, the radio business is really in trouble. You know, companies are losing money and there's no future in radio. I disagree, by the way. the business is the business, and business right now needs to be revised in many ways. But people are very down in the radio industry. I'm not. I'm rather bullish on radio. So I get an email from a gentleman at Cumulus that says, Michael, I have good news for you. You've been nominated for the Radio Hall of Fame. I said, oh, that's nice. Now, there are many categories in the Radio Hall of Fame nominations, and this category is the spoken word on-air personality. There are only four nominees. I'm one of them. And on June 20th, I will tell you how you can vote for me. Public voting commences June 20th on for the public. And you, the listeners of this show, can, I guess, you call a number or something that I'm going to give you, or email, and I don't know. Oh, you text. You text a certain number with a certain code, and you say, I want Michael Savage to win the Radio Hall of Fame thing. But I won't have that for you till June 20th, okay? There's no guarantee I'm going to win, because there are people on the list who have much bigger shows than I do. And so I wouldn't hold your breath for that one. So I'm just mentioning to you it's coming, and that's important to me, and maybe it'll be important to you to mention that. Meanwhile, your president, the most power-mad president in American history, getting away with virtual murder and war, continues on his apology tour. And he lifted the decades-old arms ban in his first visit to Vietnam. And Larry King asked me about that, and I had an interesting answer. I didn't know I would be asked about it, but, you know, I'm a reasonably well-read man in the news business. I figured out what was going on here. And I'll give you a preview of what I said. He said, what do you think about Obama lifting the arms ban on Vietnam? So I said, well, I thought we were going to talk about Teddy and me.
What do you think about lifting the arms embargo on Vietnam?
I said, well, I'll tell you, now that I think about it, I think the sorority is trying to use Vietnam as a factotum against China. And he said, what do you mean by that? I said, well, because, look, I've said on my radio show over and over again that North Korea doesn't do anything without China telling them what to do. They are, I call them the junkyard dog of China, North Korea. And we don't really have any junkyard dogs in Asia, do we? And so now, by lifting the arms embargo, I said, on Vietnam, what we're doing is basically threatening China. Period. That's what I think. That's what Obama did. Years long, and very weak effort to counter China's influence in Asia. Instead of doing something as childish and as weak as that, that's really limp-wristed. If Obama really wants to punish Beijing and put them in their place, he needs to immediately put tariffs on Chinese goods and make them deal with their currency issues. But I'll talk more about that on the Savage Nation. Vietnamese leader quotes Ho Chi Minh in toast to the U.S. That's another story, but it's related to that. How do you feel about Obama lifting the arms ban on Vietnam? 855-400-7282 is the phone number in Baltimore. There's another story out of Baltimore now. Remember, there was a big riot over there. They almost burnt the city to the ground because of Eric Holder, Al Sharpton, in my opinion, and all of the other racial motivators, the guys who have gasoline on their tongue. Well, we know the whole Freddie Gray story. He was not a doll. He died in a police van, and they've tried to burn a bunch of cops in Baltimore for having killed him on purpose, when we all know that that was a complete lie provoked by the race haters, the race baiters, mainly the professional race baiters, and the result was horrendous. Nobody benefited when the streets were set on fire and the stores were trashed. And so the top cop in that case, a man who was not even in the streets at the time, was today found not guilty. You hear Freddie Gray arresting officer Edward Nero found not guilty on all charges. That's because, remember, in order to be proven guilty in the United States of America, thank God even for you criminals out there, you know, there has to be no reasonable doubt, in plain English. If you can show reasonable doubt, you're innocent. Now, this man, the arresting officer, Edward Nero, was found not guilty on all counts by Baltimore City Council Court Judge Barry Williams. If you want to make it a racial thing, Barry Williams, the judge, was black. Nero, the officer, waived his right to a trial by jury. His bench trial began May 12th, and final arguments were heard Thursday. In other words, he waived trial by jury because he knows the juries could be stocked with people who would have burned them. See, he threw his life really before the judge. And the trial was attended by a group of Baltimore City police officers, mostly in plain clothes. And after the verdict was read, they all came up to Officer Nero one by one, embracing him, and patted him on the back and Officer Nero was seen with tears in his eyes. It's an interesting story. If you remember the story, Freddie Gray, a 25-year-old man from the Sandtown area of Baltimore, died on April 19th of a spinal cord injury sustained while in police custody. Now, that's the AP version of it. It's like the police broke his back on purpose. That's not what happened. It was a complete lie. But because the media exists because of racial hatred and setting people against each other and setting fires across America, they love to see Baltimore burn. It was very good for ratings. And, of course, the Occupy Now movement was there. The Black Lives Matter movement was there. And they burned and they looted. Of course, that was not commented upon by the vermin in the media. And so today's verdict fundamentally is a fair one. This guy did not do anything against this man, Freddie Gray. And he was found not guilty. This is our American system of justice. And police officers in this nation are afforded the same justice system as every other citizen in the city, state, and country, including those who break windows and burn buildings. And this case has come to an end. And the citizens of Baltimore should absolutely remember that if they start burning again, all they're going to do is confirm what everyone thinks about them to begin with, that they're nothing but an angry mob. And I think that Al Sharpton should be arrested for crossing state lines with the intent of starting a riot if he is seen anywhere on the border of the state of Baltimore. I'm not kidding you. There are federal laws on the books, and I've read them before, which prohibit crossing state lines for the sake of inciting a riot. Al Sharpton should have been arrested numerous times for this. But because he is above the law, and because he is one of Obama's most loyal attack dogs, this man has not yet been arrested for inciting riots, in the estimation of yours truly, Michael Savage, back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO-IN. So, we're talking about the Baltimore cop found not guilty. I guess that's true. He was not guilty. We are talking about Obama giving Vietnam, what that means with regard to China, and how it's such an absurd movement on the part of the sorority. But that's what you'd expect from a sorority that is hard-focused on transgendered illegals rather than international affairs. In fact, the sorority is so compassionate towards transgenders that they've set up special housing for trans illegals. That shows you how compassionate Obama is. He's bringing in TB refugees into Indiana. They're giving special housing for trans illegals in Texas. What could be better? I mean, this is a compassionate man. He's a compassionate man. And speaking of compassion, your Pope, the genius in the Catholic Church, the most brilliant Pope in the 1400 years, you know, he's the first non-European Pope handpicked out of nowhere. 1400 years, they always had a European Pope. Well, they went and dug one up from socialist South America. And now he's topped himself. Your Pope and the number one imam in the world embraced in an historic Vatican meeting. Isn't that nice? While radical Muslims are burning churches and killing Christians, committing a genocide against Christians in the Middle East, your Pope is kissing the top imam for the first time in the history of relationships between Catholics and Muslims. That's terrific. Now, why is Pope Francis welcoming the destruction of his religion? Does anyone have an answer to this? Four refugees with infectious TB sent to Indiana in 2015. Why does the power-mad president continue to do this? Anything else? 855-407-282. 855-400-SAVAGE. Now, if you're a veteran or you have a father or a grandfather or an uncle who's a veteran who's been waiting a long time to be treated at a VA hospital, you should keep the faith, baby, because the VA secretary, Bob McDonald, said that long hospital waits are equal to that of lines at Disneyland. That's right. Now, a statement like this would normally put somebody immediately out of their job. VA Secretary Bob McDonald does not think that measuring the number of days it takes for a veteran to receive a medical appointment is a valid assessment of success for the Obama administration's V8. He said, no, no, no. He said, the long lines at Disney theme parks are about the same. This genius said that when you go to Disney, do they measure the number of hours you wait in line for what's important? What's important, he said, is what's your satisfaction with the experience? That's the VA secretary and any other administration, the man is thrown out of the job, but not here. 855-400-7282, phone number. 855-400-SAVAGE. We're still waiting for the Larry King interview tape, where you'll hear what I have to say about basically his attacks on Donald Trump, which are very interesting. He did it in such a nice way that I didn't take umbrage. Any man who also owns a bagel store and actually works in the bagel store in L.A. is not a bad guy, I figure. It was like kibitzing with a deranged socialist uncle, is how I felt. A guy who couldn't help himself. He grew up poor, grew up in Brooklyn. They were all left-wingers. You don't get mad at people like that. You try to educate them. And I can't wait to get the tape. I want to hear what it sounds like, and I'll share it with you the minute we get it. But I want to go back to my number one question today, which is in this post-legal age where Obama has virtually blown up every law in the land, which of the remaining vices and crimes should be legalized? Should prostitution be legalized? Come on now. You have an opinion on that. Shouldn't prostitution be legalized? Shouldn't all drugs be legalized? So what if a guy threw himself out of his apartment in New York City after eating magic mushrooms? Wouldn't it have been better if, well, it was legal to eat magic mushrooms? Then more kids could eat it. More people could experience the wonders of peyote. I mean, you people are living in the past if you think that magic mushrooms should be a controlled substance. And while you're at it, why don't you legalize heroin? Why don't you legalize crack? You really ought to clean up America by getting rid of all of these antiquated right-wing white laws. Because you well know that laws against drugs are passed by uptight old white men, and that everyone else wants drugs legalized. It's only the uptight old dying white men who are still stuck in the past with these laws, right? Prostitution should be legal. Heroin should be legal. Borders should be erased. Whatever you say, man, if it feels good, do it. Why not do it in the road?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
The United States is fully lifting the ban on the sale of military equipment to Vietnam that has been in place for some 50 years. As with all our defense partners, sales will need to still meet strict requirements, including those related to human rights. This change will ensure that Vietnam has access to the equipment it needs to defend itself and removes a lingering vestige of the Cold War. It also underscores the commitment of the United States to a fully normalized relationship with Vietnam, including strong defense ties with Vietnam and this region for the long term.
Will that include landmines? Will he lift the ban on landmines? Claymores, I mean, they worked real well. Is he going to lift the ban on claymores for Vietnam and long-range artillery? What do the weapons include? I wonder what he's giving Vietnam. We know why he's doing it. It's too little, too late. It's stupid. It's stupid foreign policy, by the way. It's childish foreign policy. There are better ways to deal with China's imperialism than funding a small country like Vietnam. What is he trying to do, provoke a little regional war? Ask Henry Kissinger.
I'm sure he can give an answer that's very quiet, so brilliant. Disco Henry can figure out how to pit the small against the big, and Lao Tzu taught me personally over a corned beef years ago in Austria. If you pit the small against the big will always lose if the small is more vicious.
See, Kissinger would approve of giving weapons to Vietnam. And so this is very smart. This is smart, smart politics. What does Hillary Clinton think about giving weapons to Vietnam? What does Donald Trump think about it? See, I worked their names and I had to. I had to work the names, or you'll turn the radio show off, because if you can't listen to radio now without saying Trump, I'd say every minute, and Hillary every half a minute. In fact, if I just ran a tape that said Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton coming up in a discussion on the Savage Nation, I ran that over and over again for 3 hours, my ratings would double. People don't listen to what you say anyway. So what's the point of painting Persian miniatures if people are listening for punch words? And so we have the topics. President Obama heads to Asia to talk about climate change. Meanwhile, a solar farm caught fire. Oh, yeah. You didn't hear about that one? And you know what the name of the solar farm is? Ivanpa. Take a look at how it's tied to a famous congresswoman from San Francisco. You won't read that in the news. In energy news, President Obama's favorite solar panel facility in California caught fire. Ivanpa, the world's largest solar farm located in the Mojave Desert, which has been responsible for mass killing of birds since the various mirrors that surround the complex literally fry the birds out of the sky. You hear me? You hear me? Temperatures above the $2.2 billion slush fund facility, funded by the American tax people so that senators and congressmen and their relatives can get rich, are said to have registered as high as 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Birds are dying. Power is not being generated at the level it was supposed to. It's emitting 46,000 tons of greenhouse gas. Now the Ivanpa solar electric generating system in California caught fire. Firefighters had to climb 300 feet up a boiler tower after the fire was reported on an upper level around 9:30 a.m. But don't let that deter you from building more solar plants. We've got to kill as many birds as possible for Colonel Sanders. You see, it's another way of providing protein for the desert creatures, which is to burn the birds. And that way, the endangered lizards will thrive. And so think about this. I mean, if you are a congresswoman from San Francisco and you have relatives who you gave $1 billion in free money to get involved in green energy, and so what if it's killing birds? You just get up and you bumble around and say, well, the birds are good for the lizards on the desert floor because the lizards were more endangered than birds. And therefore, if the birds fall out of the sky, the amphibian birds, and very good, and have a nice day. And guess what? You'll be on Larry King Live. Or you'll be on with Jake Woodtapper. Or better yet, you'll be interviewed by NPR about the brilliance of burning birds out of the sky with exploding solar facilities. WABC Rick, welcome to the Savage Nation. I'm afraid sarcasm no longer sells. That requires an IQ of at least 90. Go ahead, Rick. What's on your mind?
Well, stick a needle in China's arm. Weapons for Vietnam, I totally agree with. The first thing the president's done, I agree with.
Now, what do you think sticking a needle in China's arm is going to do to China?
Well, I think we even mentioned it, that we have all the problems down in the South China Sea, and it has taken over all those little islands. You got to put weapons in Vietnam. I'm glad that President Obama finally did something.
So, in other words, you're glad that there might be a regional war. That's a good thing for the world.
No, but I know how Claymore mines work. I set a few off in my day. And I understand that Vietnam is, it's the first thing that President Obama's done I agree with.
Well, you keep repeating yourself, but I'm asking you to think about the consequences of what the great genius sorority chief has done. Do you think it's going to make the world safer to provoke China, a nuclear power?
What else are you going to do to China? How else can you deal with them?
What's China doing that needs to be dealt with? Let's start with that question. What are they doing wrong?
How about a tram stamp made in China on every Barbie doll you got in the store today? How's that for a starter? And this would be American dolls.
Well, now you jumped again. What is China doing wrong is what I'm asking you that needs to be corrected?
Well, stop making all our toys for one thing, but let him.
In other words, the toys should be made here in America with slave labor instead of in China?
There's no slave labor in America.
Well, the only way to make toys cheaper than they do in China is to use slave labor.
No, put the people at Mattel and Harper and all the other
people. What people are going to make toys? Mark Zuckerberg's programmers are going to leave Facebook to make toys in a sweatshop in Texas?
Those are billionaires. You can't get near them. You might as well give up.
No, I know. So I'm asking, what is China doing that's wrong that they need to be provoked by Obama's sorority girls? If you think it through, you'll find out that it's not a smart idea at all. It's stupid policy, not smart policy. Of course the object was to provoke China. It's what I said today during my interview, but I didn't say I agreed with it. It's stupid. It's stupid policy. It's something that an impotent leader would do, which is not thinking through giving weapons to the Vietnamese. All it's going to do is destabilize Southeast Asia. It's not going to stabilize it, and it's not going to bring China one step closer to more fair trade policies with the United States of America. Plain English. Plain English. 855-407-282. Let's go to a caller on KLIF in Dallas on line 3. Go ahead, my friend. What's on your mind?
Hi, Dr. Savage. I just wanted to make a comment and then get some feedback from you about the first chapter of Teddy and Me, when you talk about how people treat their dogs and how it kind of comes around full circle in the possible afterlife, I guess.
Yes, sir.
I am a veterinary technician, and I've done it for over 15 years. And the thing that I've really noticed about people and their dogs is that if you have, like, an angry person on that's angry all the time, usually their dog feeds back on that and is the ones you got to get, you know, muzzled and all that to protect yourself from getting bit. But it seems like when I read that first chapter, it reminded me that probably Teddy has your same personality as far as that he concerns himself with certain situations that he thinks he could intervene and make a difference. And
I don't know about that. He does have a dog's nature underneath it all. There is a little bit of wolf in the little guy. But I opened the book by saying a neighbor recently said to me that he judges a man by how he treats dogs. I said, oh, I agree with that. And we went from there. And we talked about, you know, this little guy. And I try to, you know, sometimes I'm in a bad mood. Let me put it to you this way, Brian. There are days that things aren't going right for me, or I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. I have a headache, whatever. I don't feel good. And, you know, you walk out of your bed, you see your little dog there. You have a choice. You can brush him aside, you can snap at him, or you could go out of your way to be kind to that little creature. And what that does is it brings out the kindness in you towards humans later in the day, because it brings out a kindness from you that would have otherwise been dormant for the day. And that's the value of a dog, I think, is to bring out that gentleness in us, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. I love seeing, I can come home in a bad mood. Like right now, I'm standing here in front of one of my labs that she's a real sweet dog, but she's not the brightest dog in the world. But she's always wacky.
Are Labrador retrievers not smart? I heard that they're very compliant. Children can poke them in the eye with things and they don't care. Are they nice or are they just stupid?
Most of them are just nice. I've been told several times that the yellow labs are a lot smarter than the...
In fact, if we're going to live in a post-racial America, I think we need to eliminate all labs that are not of a certain color, because it's offensive to the other labs, what you just said. And frankly, it reduces their self-esteem. And you don't want Labrador retrievers with bad self-esteem, do you?
Not at all.
You get the craziness of the world we're living in. So what do you do as a vet technician? You obviously work in a veterinary clinic. You aid the vet during medical procedures?
And I'll assist in surgeries, and then we work, you know, rooms.
How did you train to become I bet there's a lot of people listening who would like to get into veterinary work, but they don't have the time or the money to go to veterinary school, which is very demanding. It's as tough as medical school. How many years do you have to go to school to be a vet tech?
In Texas, to certify, you have to go for 2 years of school. It's basically like an associate's degree.
Wow, that's a lot of time.
Yeah.
And what's the salary range for a vet tech these days starting?
Anywhere down here, it's anywhere between like $11 and $15 an hour. So it's not too bad, but it's...
God, how do you live on so little money? I mean, come on, let's be realistic. That's not a lot of money to live on, but the cost of living is certainly less in Texas than it is in San Francisco. I know that. But, you know, people don't know how hard it is to live on low wages. They have no idea unless they've actually worked for low wages. I'm sending you a copy, by the way, of Teddy and Me, and I thank you for being such a nice guy. and for calling the show. But, you know, I'm not kidding about the topic I really wanted to talk about. I haven't gotten any calls on it yet. It just shows you. I said, in this post-legal age, which crime should be legalized? Should prostitution be legalized? Should all drugs be legalized? Because Obama had, you know, we said we're living in a post-racial age. Well, we're living in a post-legal age. He has skirted every law in the land that he doesn't like. He's gone around the law when he doesn't like the law. So now we're facing the issue of what really is crime, what really is vice. What, I mean, don't you want to talk about that? KSFO, Andrew, welcome to the program. Your opinion counts. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I think prostitution should be legalized. One of the comments somebody always made to me about it was that if you allow pornography, where you can pay to people to engage in sexual acts, why can't you pay one person for that?
Well, the answer to that is, why shouldn't pornography be made illegal, since it's poisoning the mind of the world?
That too, I'm just saying. I mean,
in other words, two vices don't make for no vice. Why not eliminate pornography and arrest the pornographers and put them away for life and seize their assets, since they're destroying marriages and minds? It's one of the worst addictions in the history of mankind. Why shouldn't porno be made illegal?
Oh, I entirely agree. I agree that it should be made legal. My point is that if it is legal, they should legalize prostitution as well, otherwise ban them.
I understand, but that makes two wrongs don't make a right. By the way, you know how I feel about sex, don't you?
Yes.
No, you don't. The position is ridiculous, the relief is momentary, and the results are catastrophic.
Okay.
That's actually a joke, but you have to have read Chesterfield to understand it, my friend. Thanks for the call. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. I mean, I guess one of the topics that caught fire is, should prostitution be legalized? And we got a lot of callers on that one. And then I jokingly went into my views on sex. I thought it was very funny the way I worked it in, because I was rereading my novel Abuse of Power over the weekend to see. It was really excellent, especially what I said about Islam and radical Islam versus moderate Muslims. But I stumbled upon a piece of dialogue where I said, "Well, you know how I feel about sex, Max, don't you? The position is ridiculous, the relief momentary, and the results catastrophic." She laughed. And I then actually looked up Chesterfield, where he said the pleasure is momentary, the position ridiculous, and the expense damnable. So I think I improved on Lord Chesterfield's aphorism, so you can now call me Lord Savage, and I should be entered into all books of knowledge amongst the great writers of all time. Lord Savage said what I said, and it's an improvement on Lord Chesterfield, who lived in the 1600s. We've evolved. It's absolutely true that I improved on Lord Chesterfield's aphorism. 855-400-7282. I forget the number. I said the wrong number, the right number. I can't remember anymore. Let's take a prostitution call. I think that's a good one. And then we're going to do the Vietnam issue. We're going to do the other issues that are hanging fire that we haven't talked about. I think they're all good. Which laws should be eliminated to legalize what? How do you feel about Obama lifting the arms ban on Vietnam? The Baltimore cop was acquitted. That's a topic. Which crime should not be crimes? I think that's a good topic. This is, frankly, a talk show for the thinking person. It's not two legs good, four legs bad. It's not just, you know, grunting about a candidate 15 hours a week, I hope, right? So what do you want to talk about? Let's do one of the calls that I just mentioned. Here we go. WTNY in New York. Tom, line 3, what's your topic?
Yes, I think prostitution should be legal.
Okay, but you got to say why.
Because it would cut down on sex crimes. Instead of a guy taking what he wants, he can reach in his pocket and pay for it. And it also would cut down on pollution.
But wait a minute. What makes you think that there are men who would not seek to have sex against the will of certain women simply for the evil power trip that he gets out of it?
Well, I'm not saying that, but there probably would be many that would just soon pay for it than take it.
Well, that's assuming that you're being very discriminatory toward the poor, though. Unless you want to subsidize prostitution, Obama could do that with Obamacare.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
What I do is I let what comes in my head go out on the air. Welcome to the show. I mean, within reasonable limits. Now, maybe today's topic is one I shouldn't have let out of the jack-in-the-box, but it's out there and there's no taking it back. I began the show by saying, in this post-legal age, which crime should be legalized? I asked, should prostitution be legalized? Should all drugs be legalized? I said that in this Obama age of virtual decriminalization of all vices, where there are only a few crimes left, such as homophobia, racism is now a crime, denying global warming, life in prison. There are no crimes left. Prostitution, nothing. Drugs, nothing. Ha ha, look the other way at everything. So why not go all the way and, before he leaves office, legalize all drugs, legalize prostitution, right? Or wrong? The law itself has been perverted and destroyed under this madman. So which of the remaining so-called vices and crimes should be legalized? I think it's a reasonable question. I also announced that I'm very proud to say that after 22 years in radio, I have been finally nominated to the National Radio Hall of Fame. But that's only the first step. Nomination is one step. Maybe there's a little half of an Academy Award that you get, a little tiny bronze statue. I don't know. But you're going to have a chance to vote on it yourself by texting on June 20th if you'd like me to win the award in one category, which is spoken word on-air personality. There's actually only four people that I'm competing with. I would say that with your help, I might just get it. It's hard to say. Everything's political, and it's all a matter of how many people bother voting. It's free, you know. I'll let you know in June. It'd be nice to have. And if I don't, I don't. But at least I was nominated, right? That's a good thing. So now let's go on with the show. On with the show. And if you're asking, what did I say about sex? I'd rather quote Lord Chesterfield, who said, sex, the pleasure is momentary, the position ridiculous, and the expense damnable. Now, he lived in the 1600s. Maybe today the pleasure is longer than momentary because of niacin. Maybe the positions are no longer ridiculous given the low nature and the low status of most humans who live at low positions to begin with, so maybe it's not ridiculous. And as far as the expense, it's virtually free today. So I don't know about the expense being damnable. The only expense is if you get a psychotic woman who wants to accuse you of something you didn't do. Then the expense, of course, is damnable. But otherwise, what? Where's the expense today? But let's go to the legal prostitution issue. What do you think about that one? KYYA Radio. Scott, welcome to the Savage Nation. From which state are you calling, Scott? Where are you?
I'm in Billings, Montana.
That is so great. The late, great state of Billings, Montana. Obama's flooding you with refugees. I know that.
Wonderful. I just wanted to say about prostitution, legalizing it is a slippery slope. It's going to create more divorce in this country, which is going to create more single families, which is also going to create more welfare, and I do believe that's the same with drugs as well.
Well, that would be the object of a socialist government. Which is why in socialist Europe, prostitution is legal. They don't want marriage and family. That's antiquated. The idea of one man and one woman raising children, you know what a hard job that is? Leave it to the state. Look at the great nanny state where there are no men left in England except those behind bars. And take a look at my website, michaelsavage.com, and take a look at what's happened to the average English man. They don't even feel like men anymore because of the nanny state. They've been turned into virtual dogs in their own nation. I'm not making this up. It's absolutely true what the nanny state has done to masculinity. But now, the issue is not about the nanny state. It's about legalizing prostitution, as I well know. Those who operate within the corridors of the Obama administration would love to legalize drugs and prostitution. They don't dare do it right now because they don't think that we, the little people, are ready for it. But believe me, they have the plans on the drawing board. I'm sending you a copy of Teddy and Me because, let's put it to you this way, dogs are more innocent than men, okay? It's as simple as that. And it's a pleasure to have one. Sometimes I look at them and I say how innocent they really are. But, of course, look, when they go atavistic, they're not so innocent. I was walking them the other day, and there's always some people that really belong in prison themselves. I was in the Golden Gate National Recreation Area down near the Golden Gate Bridge. I have my little dog on a leash. Most normal people recognize that dogs should be leashed. Take a guess which dogs I saw off leash. Evil people, mainly with threatening dogs, usually pit bull mixes, are the lowest forms of humanity on the planet. They use those dogs as weapons, and they generally use them to threaten you. And the fact of the matter is there can't be a cop for every leash. And that's the story of the world that we live in. It's each man for himself. Sometimes dialogue, or shall I say monologues with others, helps us arrive at some sense of sanity. And I hope that that's what radio can do for you, which is at least have a dialogue in some civilized manner in order to approach some degree of civility and sanity. Now, I'm not going to talk about the election today. There's absolutely nothing to talk about. If you think I'm going to spend 3 hours, the poll is this, the poll is that, he's up, down, and da-da-da. They didn't report this, they're evil. How come they didn't say this? He's up 2 ticks on this one. On that one, he's down, he's up, but he's really down, and on the other, da-da-da-da-da. 855-400-728. There's no news. None. Nah, what's the news out there? Let's see. Here's news in the New York Post. Banker plunges to his death after eating magic mushrooms. Well, he was practicing what he wanted to do. He was enjoying magic mushrooms. He was a brilliant young man, had a whole life ahead of him, but say he engaged in recreational drug use. Isn't that what they teach you at Harvard? If it feels good, do it. Why don't you experiment the way I did? Hey, things happen, you know what I'm saying? They shouldn't make drugs illegal. Why, if the drug had been legal, he would have still taken the mushrooms and fallen off or fell off the building or jumped. So what's the difference then if it's legal or illegal? The answer's simple. In the more use of the drugs, the more suicides and the loss of life. That's all. Obama says, let's arm the Vietnamese. Baltimore cop not guilty in death of Freddie Gray. Syria, is that still happening? Is Syria still at war? I don't know. That's not in the news anymore. Are they still killing and murdering? Not really. You don't want to read about that because it makes Hillary look like what she really is, a warmongering maniac who brought about the Arab Spring and destroyed the Middle East. So let's not talk about Syria. You notice how Syria news has disappeared virtually? Because the average person, wait a minute, Syria is still going on? How did this happen? How did Syria melt down? Oh, it was Hillary's Arab Spring, funded by George Soros. The architect of that was Brzezinski, in my opinion. The enactor was Hillary Clinton, in my knowledge. The disaster was total, in my opinion. WBOB in Jacksonville. Tim, line 3, topic, please. Go ahead, please.
Well, Dr. Savage, I'm personally frustrated over prostitution and drug laws from the perspective I'm a taxpayer. I'm a landscaper in the Florida Sun, and it frustrates me that money is taken out of my check to lodge a prostitute in jail or to put a pothead in jail for the offense of nothing more than getting high. I don't agree with these things. I don't personally have any favor to these things, but I just don't see how, when money is taken out of my check to fund the government, how that is them putting my money to good use. It doesn't.
You actually make a very important libertarian point in some ways. It's absolutely true. And it's an interesting question that has to be talked about, because how many people are really in jail for using marijuana these days? Are there any left? Hasn't it fundamentally been legalized across America with a wink and a nod? How many people are rotting in jail over using marijuana today? Well, there could be, I don't know, on a traffic stop, if they find drugs, you go to jail, right? And there are people in prison, by the way, on a very, let's say, it starts with a minor misdemeanor. The next thing you know, they find marijuana in his car. That's a double. God knows the license plate's expired. That's a triple. They put him away for 1 to 2, and the guy comes out a hardened criminal. So don't think I'm in favor of the increasing criminalization in America. I'm also a citizen of the country. I also don't want to be caught up in the long arm of the law for no reason. So I understand your point of view. With regard to prostitution, I think it's a little different. Because, yes, you could argue it's a victimless crime. And you could also argue that if prostitution would be legalized, the women would be safer, as would the, let us say, the users of prostitution, who wouldn't face going to prison and having their families destroyed. But what about the disease that men get from prostitutes and bringing that home? Isn't that a problem?
It it's a problem, but at the same time, I'd call that assumed risk. You know, they're the ones willingly going out and doing that, so if they contract some form of venereal disease, well, no one forced them to engage in prostitution.
All right, so you're basically a libertarian in, with regard to drugs and prostitution. That's what you would be defined as. You're saying it's not my problem. If the guy wants to do that, let him do it, because it would be a lower social cost to legalize prostitution and legalize marijuana, is what you're saying. Would you legalize all drugs? Would you legalize heroin?
I probably would, to be honest with you.
But what the government would give out the heroin in government facilities? There'd be government heroin stores?
No, probably something equivalent to ABC. I don't see things like heroin and cocaine being sold at 7-Eleven, but I'd assume we would have public, you know, laws similar to how alcohol, you cannot be intoxicated in public, you cannot be high in public. And from my perspective, that puts hardened criminal gangs out of business. If I can go and buy it legitimately, I'm not going to put money into the coffers of some Mexican cartel who's going to go out and cut some guy's head off.
You see, you're a realist. You're actually a man who deals with reality every day. You say you're a gardener in Florida?
Yes, sir.
So you deal with the realities of every day. You deal with the realities of nature, in essence. Whether you see an insect eating a plant or the wind knocking down a palm tree, you're dealing with reality daily, aren't you?
Yes, sir. Out in the sun.
Do you derive... When you're cutting down trees or doing a lawn or trimming or planting, do you think about world problems?
Sometimes. I mean, you know, if there's not a lot of conversation, I often, you know, you think about a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
I have to kind of reflect.
Do you listen to talk radio while you're working?
No, not while I'm working. We don't leave the truck on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wish I had a portable radio, a free radio to give you, that you like an earpiece radio so you can listen to the Savage Nation 24/7. Well, I tell you, I'm sending you a beautiful gift, Mr. Gardner, Teddy and Me, Confessions of a Service Human. This is the Savage Nation, and I think this topic is good. We haven't really explored it yet, this legalizing prostitution. We've just scratched the surface, and we haven't touched on Obama arming the Vietnamese, by the way, because today was a pretty big shock to most thinkers. He says, let's arm the Vietnamese. The power mad maniac spoke in Hanoi during his first visit to Vietnam, and he lifted a 50-year-old ban on selling arms to Vietnam. And, of course, he wants to make Vietnam a thorn in the side of China. Now, in theory, if you're a schoolgirl who went to one of the lowest institutions of lower living, Harvard, Bryn Mawr, Columbia, you know, the places that they hire them from, Georgetown. If you're a person who went to one of those schools, you would think that's a good idea. But what about Vietnam's abysmal treatment of dissidents? What about the horrible human rights record in Vietnam? And by giving them weapons, we no longer have leverage for pushing the evil Vietnam government on human rights abuse. So why would he do this? Isn't he Mr. Human Rights? This is a hysterical reaction to his impotent desire to counter China's influence in Asia. It's an impotent gesture. And all it is going to do is serve the interests of the military-industrial complex, which Dwight D. Eisenhower warned us against. And so this is not an anti-war president. This is not a peace-loving president. This is a Machiavellian power-mad lunatic. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. All right, here we're going to go into a spiral right now. I don't know whether it's a spiral upwards or downwards, but we're talking about should prostitution be legalized in context of a larger question. And many of you are waiting to chime in on it. I don't blame you. We've only scratched the surface on this very important social question. But now I'm going to read something to you that is somewhat alarming. But in an age of materialism, where human emotion is dead by drugs and whatever else, there's hardly any feeling between men and women. especially in the younger generations. It's one of, I don't know what it is, basically use. It's getting together, sort of coupling for sex, and that's about it. In most cases, don't call me and tell you different. So now we come to this article. It's shockingly easy to fall in love with a sex doll. It's in today's New York Post tabloid. Okay, fine. But you could ignore the question and say, I don't want to hear that crap. Or you could listen to what's actually happening and understand this is a trend of the future. A silicone real doll face looks up from a workbench at the Abyss Creations factory in San Francisco. David Mills has a great story about the time he brought a date home and she almost saw his sex robot. Everything was going well and we were heading toward the bedroom. And that's when I realized, oh God, Taffy's in there. You see, Taffy is Mills' sex robot. Mills and Taffy are celebrating their two-year anniversary. In June of 2014, Mills had her delivered from a company called Abyss Creations. Taffy is the Real Doll 2 Body A model, with silicone skin and stainless steel joints. Her $7,149 price tag included an extra $500 for custom freckles, because Mr. Mills wanted her to look more realistic. The doll also features, per the website, I can't read certain things, and a hinge jaw that opens and closes very realistically. I'll leave it at that. So he has dates, and he has a sex doll. And he covers up the sex doll when he brings someone home to be with. Her face is only part of her that's visible, and her vacant stare and unkempt blonde hair, she looks like a dead body, the equivalent of a fresh corpse peeking out of leaves in a forest preserve, waiting to be discovered. He says, I wouldn't call this a relationship. I think one of the misconceptions about sex robots is that owners view their dolls as alive, or that my doll is in love with me, or that I sit around and talk to her about whether I should buy Apple stock. In other words, that the owners are out of their mind. My friends, you do know this is the trend of the future. You do know that. We're going to talk about this, as well as should prostitution be legalized, because one day that will be a dead profession, let alone the world's oldest profession.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
All right, so welcome back to the show. You know, you say, well, you're skipping around. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. But I started by talking about should prostitution be legalized. And then I got into sex robots because it's a huge story right now in the New York Daily Post, saying it's shockingly easy to fall in love with a sex doll. Now, I know nothing about this. Honestly, I don't. I've heard about it. I'm reading stuff that I cannot believe is going on. Never mind what they cost. I don't understand what they're making. I can't understand how they make it, why anybody would want one. And so I want to read a little bit more on this, because people are predicting this is actually a trend of the future. And they say that sex dolls are today where the Wright brothers were with the airplane. Oh, my God. They said, you're not going to believe what is going to be coming down in the future. So they talk about Daryl Hannah in Blade Runner, or Kelly LeBrock in Weird Science, or Nicole Kidman in The Stepford Wives. They say sex robots in 2016 are more reminiscent of Mattel's Chatty Cathy dolls from the 1960s, which couldn't do much besides coo, give me a kiss. And then they say that the real dolls come with an abundance of options. You can choose from 19 faces, 5 eye colors, 15 hairstyles, and 11 different styles of blank. I can't even say the word. I had no idea. 19 faces, 5 eye colors, 15 hairstyles? Sounds like the average liberal from the Upper East Side. Meanwhile, the Roxy Gold robot from True Companion, with a base price before the extras of $6,995, comes with options such as a heartbeat and a circulatory system, and the ability to talk to you about soccer. Regardless of your skills, all the dolls have an option of an orgasm. I don't understand that either. Then he writes, of course, the reason anyone wants a sex robot, she has an off switch. I mean, that's such a sexist joke. But I had to read it because it's funny. Taffy and her ilk are laughably primitive, but then again, so were the Wright brothers' prototypes. We went from this is a fantasy to I want more legroom and premium economy in less than a century. in love and sex with robots, the evolution of human-robot relationships, AI expert David Levy predicts that by 2050, love with robots will be as normal as love with other humans. He even promised that Massachusetts would be the first state to legalize marriage to robots. Well, if you can see that Obama became president, I think half the voters are robots. But that's a separate story. And then they go into a talk to a New York-based futurist who claims, according to a 2014 Pew Research survey, that in less than 10 years, robotic sex partners will be a common will be commonplace. And on and on. The people actually creating this technology aren't even as conservative with the timeline. Matt McMullen, the CEO and founder of Real Dolls, thinks it could only take a handful of years before we see a robot capable not just of ultra-realistic sex, but of, quote, expressing the illusion of emotions. Again, the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Douglas Hines, the founder and president of True Companion, expects that even before the end of this year, we could have commercially available robot partners that don't just submit to sexual fantasies, but, quote, also offer unconditional love and support. They actually fall in love with you. Can you believe this? The sex robots of tomorrow might just embody everything you want from a woman. For the right price, they write, you could have a partner that thinks exactly like you and shares your beliefs and interests. She'll be tailor-made to your tastes, with none of the compromises that come with having a relationship with a real woman. Mills asks, have you ever tried to put on fake eyelashes? He gently brushes a hand across Taffy's face, moving a tangled strand of hair out of her eyes. That was one of the hardest things I've ever done, he said. It's the little things like putting pantyhose on her. That was an ordeal. Being with her has taught me how difficult it is to be a woman. Now, this guy's a weirdo, by the way, a psycho. But wait, he's 50 years old and he has a 20-year-old daughter who knows about the sex doll. I swear to God. It's crazy. He says he'll never feel anything approaching real emotional intimacy with her. He'll never feel the electricity of a first kiss or know that she understands him in ways nobody else does. But then again, he never has to worry that she might be taking advantage of him, which he says has happened with females of the human variety. At the same time, Mr. Mills lets slip hints of genuine loneliness. If I could press a button right now and have the choice of being with a sex robot or a real woman, I'd pick the real woman every time, he says. Well, most of the time. Anyway, I think I could cut off at this point because there's something very crazy, creepy, and sad about this. Some would say no. They say it's an emotional companion for lonely people. I think it's insanity, but then again, it's one man's opinion. One day you may wake up and realize that it's not so crazy. You never know what the robot future will bring tomorrow. But that brings us back to the world's oldest profession, at least not politics, which is older than prostitution. I would say politics is the world's oldest profession, not prostitution, because at least with prostitution, what you see is what you get. Well, in most cities, that is, except in, well, I can't say that anymore. But with politics, what you see is what you don't get in 100% of the cases. KSFO, John, I've gone on a long spiel here. Should prostitution with human beings be legalized or not?
Hey, Dr. Savage, I think it already is legalized. The only thing that's criminalized is streetwalkers, which is just an eyesore on society, so they get arrested. But you won't ever find escorts or high-end agencies getting arrested. All of that stuff is completely legal. In order to decriminalize that, you would have to criminalize adultery.
So you say that it's a matter of economics. The poorer girls, or the, let's say girls working on their own, not connected to high-end escort services, are the ones who are, and the poor girls who are in the street, are the ones who the law gets only.
That's not true. The unattractive girls are on the street. If they're attractive, they're not on the street for long. And the industry, it polices itself. It's just a matter of... you have to criminalize adultery, and that's all it is. Without
prying or being, are you at all involved with this industry? I mean, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm curious.
No, I've been in it for 12 years, and there's never been and knock on wood, I know pride cometh before the fall, but there's never been an arrest with what I'm affiliated with.
Wait, you've been in what for 12 years? In law enforcement?
No. I'm on the other side. I'm in the industry. And
no, I'm asking that. What do you actually do in the industry?
I'm an owner of an agency.
Okay, I'm not here to judge right now. I'm not going to sit here with putting anyone down. You own an escort agency where girls are basically sent out as hookers?
Correct.
So when I saw the TV show that I thought was incredible on Starz called GFE, Girlfriend Experience, is that semi-real?
It's completely real. It's 100% accurate.
And where do these girls, are they actually, I mean, I don't know where to begin here. They are just like that, a law student and a future lawyer could be on the side doing this for money?
Yeah, but most of all, they're nice people. They can't get to work on time. They're girls who have trouble operating in the corporate
world. All right, so that was fictionalized, that you would be that organized, go to law school to be a lawyer and still be on the side doing this. You're saying these the girls who fall into this trap basically are not that, let's say, keen on getting ahead in life?
Well, they want to get ahead in life. They could have a variety of issues. It could be they don't know how to manage money. They can't show up to work on time. I mean, there's some issues that bring them into the industry. They're not bad people. Occasionally, you'll get a bad person, and they won't last. So the people that have been around for a while, they're good people. They just have an issue.
How much do you charge for your girls?
$300 to $400 an hour.
And what do you keep as the pimp? I'm sorry, as the businessman.
that depends on who we're dealing with. But let me put it this way: as long as you're paying taxes on it, it's not a problem.
Oh, your girls, they have to file an income tax thing?
They pay taxes. I pay taxes. We all pay taxes. If you pay taxes, you're not in trouble. I don't know if you remember the story last year, the SF Red Book, it was in 2014, when they got driven out of business, and it was basically tax evasion. And that's it. If you pay your taxes, nobody cares. And the services that we provide, and I understand this because I actually politically am to the right, and I agree with most stuff on the right. But one of the things that isn't really articulated is these gentlemen that see these women that pay $300 or $400 an hour, I know it's a shame. They're taking the money away from their wife, or they're taking the money away from their children. But just keep this in mind. If they were to actually pursue one of these women in the real world, it wouldn't be $300 or $400 that they're taking away from their families. It would be $3,000 or $4,000 that they would be taking away from their families.
But look, let's be clear. You're running an agency. I'm not going to ask you any more than that. What you're doing is illegal, isn't it?
No, I have no knowledge of what goes on in those rooms.
I understand. Okay, fine. So, all right, we'll leave it at that. What about disease? Is that an issue with your people?
No. Everything is always is safe. And, you know, the industry kind of polices itself. There's a lot of review boards, and you know where the people with issues and problems and diseases are. I'm not saying that stuff doesn't ever happen. It's self-policed. It's its own business. And if people have diseases, that's really bad for business. And the sex robot thing, I know this is off my topic, but the sex robot thing, you know, in 2016, we were all supposed to have flying cars by now. And the sex robot thing's never going to happen, because the reason that men see these women is for one reason. They want to feel special to these girls, and nobody's ever going to feel special to a robot.
Okay, so I want to ask, people are probably very curious about this. You're actually operating outside the law, but you say you're not. You're saying basically the poor girls are the ones who are getting arrested on the streets. If we watch a show like Cops, they're usually harassing the girls on the street. I should say arresting them, because to me it somewhat looks like harassment, incidentally. And so the cops have to do it. That's their job. I understand that. Maybe they'd rather not do it. I'm not a big fan of vice squads, frankly. When I watch these cop shows, it strikes me as very iffy and icky, because it looks to me like they're wasting tax dollars on a very, very minor crime sphere. All these men in body armor and machine guns arresting a hooker or arresting a John, I think it's insanity. Why not use all of that firepower on drug cartels, I say to myself. I mean, I'm talking how I look at a TV show like this. So, you know, I don't have a firm opinion on this issue. I really don't. I know from a moralistic point of view, I'm supposed to say I'm against legalizing prostitution and that. But if you look at the entire spectrum of events related to it, I don't think that it matters what I think anyway, because I think that's where the society is heading, don't you?
Yeah, I think the girls that are being arrested on the street, it's not regarding sex, it's because of drugs. Those are people who've hit rock bottom. And if you've ever seen one of those women arrested, they're not somebody that would they're charging $40 to.
Yeah, I've seen that. It's horrible. I don't know who would go with those women. I just don't understand that to begin with. But they're usually poor men who are at the bottom of the social order who can't find a real woman. Now, most of the women who you work with, do you know them? I mean, are they liberals or are they conservatives? I'm not joking now. Do you know their politics?
Yeah, you'd be surprised. Most of them fall to the right.
Nobody would ever have expected that, John. Is that true?
Not all of us. Just about all of us fall to the right. You know, it's more of a libertarian point of view. But, you know, we have good Christians, and I'm not here to judge. I don't, you know, whatever they want to believe.
John, are any of these girls who are doing this on the side married?
Yeah, and what's unusual about it is we have to have their husband's permission because we don't want that type of trouble. You don't want a wife doing this on the side and your husband doesn't know, because that could lead to bigger issues like my murder. so you're covering
all of your bases. Well, John, this has been a very interesting digression for the show, but it's what talk radio should be doing, I think, which is going into areas that are interesting to the listener. I don't have any further questions. If listeners did, I guess they would ask these questions. John, would you appreciate a copy of Teddy and Me for your brothel?
I would adore it. And I have all your books, and I'm a huge fan.
Oh, great. What a compliment that is. There goes my literary career. All right. John, stay on the line. A copy of Teddy and Me goes out to John, the brothel owner, on the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. All right, folks, here's another little story for you today on Monday, the 23rd of May. On the Savage Nation, Supreme Court, your Supreme Court just tossed a black man's death sentence. He had a death sentence. He was a black man because the jury was all white, thrown out. That's all. 4-4. No, 7-1. 6-1. 7-1 in favor of the death row inmate. 7-1. Now, still, there's been no investigation of the strange death of the Supreme Court justice. Even though if a bum falls in the street and dies on his own accord, just falls down, hits his head on a curb, there's an autopsy. But a Supreme Court justice partying at an odd motel on the border of, in a border town in Texas, no autopsy required because Wolf Blitzer runs the media. Not Wolf Blitzer, his type, you know what I'm saying? No one even asked why was there no autopsy. Pillow over the head. Oh, all Italians of that age sleep with pillows over their head. It came out. Remember that? Remember that cover? Italians of that generation love pillows on their head, even if they're in weird border town motels in a touch of evil territory. NBC poll, Trump and Hillary in virtual tie. Ho-hum. NRA endorsing Trump. Very nice. Washington State Republicans back Cruz over Trump. Fox poll, Trump narrowly beating Clinton. It's in May. For God's sakes, give me a break already. Well, we'll have more news, views, and reviews on the Savage Nation, including the topics I've raised. Also, Teddy and Me is in every bookstore in America. Look for it. And I have been nominated for the National Radio Hall of Fame to be a 2016 winner. And on June 20th, I will tell you how you can vote for me. It's open to the public. Spoken word on-air personality. Yours truly, your favorite talk show host, Michael Savage, nominated.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, like a slave all day.
It is me, Michael Savage. If you're listening to me, it's because I'm your favorite talk show host, and thank you for being with me all these minutes, days, weeks, months, years. Some of you have been listening since 1994. So the National Radio Hall of Fame announces nominees in various categories, and I'm nominated amongst only four for the Hall of Fame induction. And in order to win, you have to vote for me. But you can't do that today. It's open to the public, by the way, which is odd. Usually these awards are, you know, it's like everything else, very political, and it's insider, industry professionals. So you're going to be able to vote on June 20th, if you care, to nominate me for the Radio Hall of Fame. And just think about that. That means one of my great-grandchildren can send it on sell it on Antique Roadshow. Grandpa, great-grandpa's... what was that in? Radio? What was that about? Old radio, don't you remember way back in the old days in America they had a thing called radio? No, what is radio? Well, it was about the same time as marriage between man and woman. Way before sex robots. Oh. We heard about those times. Yeah, those are the ancient times. Weren't there nations in those days? Yeah, that's right. There were actual countries with names, flags, identities, histories. Didn't they have veteran cemeteries for men who had fought for the nation's borders? Yeah, but those were run over by bulldozers by the New World Order because it reminded people that there were nations and sovereign nations, and we couldn't have that. Flags became illegal, just as today the Confederate flag is illegal. The American flag was made illegal in the year 2040 because it reminded people of various uncomfortable things. National anthem, illegal. No, there's a new world anthem where you sing to Zis and Zas. Zis and Zas is who you sing to. A restaurant owner found guilty of death by chicken tikka masala. I had a look at this one. Guy went into a restaurant in England. Guy died. Why? Because the man who owned it, Mohammed Zaman, apparently switched out almond powder for a cheaper ground nut mix containing peanuts. There are people who will die from peanuts. It's a reality. They get an anaphylactic reaction and they die. The guy was 38 years old. He said no nuts. He wrote it on the order. And this guy substituted a cheaper mix with peanuts and he went into shock and died at the hospital. So you can't make a joke about that. But the fact is there are people who have food allergies that are very real. It's not in their head. So now, look, I'm not allergic to any topic. I try to take them all on because this is a long, difficult year that we're in, leading up to the most important election of our lives in November. We all know that, whoever you're going to vote for. And until then, we have to talk about things other than Trump and Hillary. I mean, there are other topics in the world. Can we get through one day without it? Well, if so, today is the day to get through without it. So I've introduced a whole host of other topics, including... In this post-legal age, which acts should be legalized which are currently illegal, like prostitution and drugs? I mean, Obama's a post-legal president. He's gone around the law. He's stepped on the law. He's avoided the law. He's ignored the law everywhere he could. So let's talk about it. KSFO, Don, Line 9, what's your opinion? Go on. You're on the Savage Nation.
I just want to say that the Twilight Zone guy, Rod Serling, I don't think in his wildest dreams he could have ever come up with this one, with this sex doll thing. It's completely crazy, and it's so, it's just, the society is gone. I don't know.
I know, but, okay, so let me ask you a broader question. Should I have avoided the topic altogether on the show?
No way! You come up with the best. You are the best. People are jealous of you because you're so smart.
Well, I mean, if I were talking about the post legal society, then I'm talking about what crimes should be decriminalized. Then I say, should prostitution be legalized, right? We're talking about that. Then also I see this article on sex robots and how they're making them so lifelike. I figured, hey, this fits right in. But I hope I didn't offend your sensibilities in any way, did I?
No, the debauchery of the society is, I don't know. It's totally crazy. It kind of reminded me, I think when you first started, when you subbed for Taliaferro, I think, you had this same subject with some guy, and he talked about some farmer down in I don't know if it was you, but it was just crazy when you think about how these people make their living. And what this other guy who said about the right-feeling people, right-leaning people, it's amazing, this world.
what do you mean? You mean that most of the women who are hookers are conservatives?
Yeah, I didn't, you know, I would think that, you know, well...
Yeah, wouldn't you think that most girls who are selling their bodies are liberals? But he said no, most of them are conservatives.
I know. It reminded me.
Some of them wear crosses and are Christians, he said, and they're married. And the husbands have to sign a release. I couldn't believe what a guy was telling me.
One last thing I want to say. You had put out a tape for the Savage, when the Paul Revere Society, you had a CD. It's the best in the world. I wish you could re-release it because I lost it.
Wait, how long? You're talking 20 years ago?
Yes.
What was on that tape? Do you remember?
Liberal women and then the...
Oh, was that old shtick, how to pick up liberal women in bookstores, which I did in the first year of radio?
Hilarious. Yeah,
that was funny stuff. I used to do different stuff in those days. Well, I'm going to send you something kinder and gentler and not too crazy. It's my new book, Teddy and Me, Confessions of a Service Human. If you love me, you love Teddy and Me.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. It is a crazy world compared to the world that I started in a radio. Can you imagine what 20 years is going to bring from today? I think about that. You know, I often do that. I say, like, okay, what we're living through now. You look back 20 years, we say, would you ever have believed that we would be living with a president who was so above the law as we are now? Would you have ever believed we would see a power mad president like this getting away with virtually everything for so long? Would you have ever believed we'd have a president who would make nice with Fidel Castro and his killer brother? I mean, go down the list and say it's impossible to believe that this would go on without the impeachment of anyone in that office. But we're living through that. And at the same time, we're living through the total and absolute debasement and meltdown of every sense of reality that we've ever had in our life. Every sense of decency has been thrown out the window. Every sense of nobility. Remember the word noble? He's a noble person. She's a noble person. Look at the vermin who are held up by the media. Look at the garbage that they hold up as role models. Look how they cover up the vermin of our society and turn everything is upside down. That which is down is up. Everything that is should be upright is now downright. That's what the society is. So how do you make heads or tails out of it? I navigate it as though I'm floating in a turbulent sea and I'm holding on to a life raft. And there's a bunch of people around me, and we're all linked together in these life rafts, and there's waves coming at us. And somebody's got to keep up the singing. That's my job, is to keep up the singing while the waves wash over our heads, knowing that we will survive one day. Someday we will reach land. It is someday we will reach the promised land together. We'll find ourselves on a dry shore, where we can take the life rings off, dry ourselves off, and start society all over again, because right now, the filth of society has washed over all of us decent people. You heard me. We are the decent people, and they are the opposite. And I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUICOIN. Well, look, the fact is there is a lot of news today. Your president went to Vietnam and ended the arms embargo, which had been in place for 50 years. You could say, oh, that's wonderful, because... Now they're going to jab China in the ribs, you know. Well, if you're a progressive, how do you support warmongering? If you're a progressive, how do you support the military-industrial complex? If you're a progressive, how do you support this maniac in the White House now? I don't get it. Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't. I don't know how. I don't know who his base is anymore, since the man really is not anything other than a Machiavellian power man individual. Here are some of the other headlines, in addition to should prostitution be legalized. Obama's plan to reintegrate ex-convicts into society raises crime fears. As you know, the power mad executive-in-chief has gone into overdrive in the last 2 months, changing policy to make it easier for ex-cons to rejoin society. Well, in a way, that's okay. However, what about the fears of increased crime and safety? That doesn't matter, because if you're going to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs. And so some of the things that have now become illegal as a result of the maniacs who are running the country, ex-offenders are now able to get state ID cards without any questions about their criminal history. You want a job, a federal job application, doesn't matter if you had been a rapist or even a terrorist for that matter. You can't ask questions about whether you had been a criminal. College application, no problem if you were a violent rapist, because according to Obama, you have every right to a college application. You're a landlord. You have a condominium. You have a number of apartments. Wouldn't you want to know if your renter was a rapist or an arsonist? Hold it a minute. I'm sorry, but that's violating Obama's federal law, because you're discriminating against the former inmate. And if you want that inmate to reintegrate into society, get a nice apartment, you can't ask him about these things, not according to the maniacs who are running the country. Pittsburgh police refusing to work security at Beyoncé's concert over anti-police message. Well, she could always hire the thugs who burnt down Baltimore to come in, give them machine guns, and they could help her. Anyway, you got the picture. It's a meltdown, the whole thing from top to bottom. KSFO, Mark, Line 9, what's on your mind, Mark? Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Oh, Dr. Savage, I want to just tell you that Rod Serling did do a story about the sex robot, except, you know, we weren't explicit like today. And it was all about loneliness. And I can even equate it to today, you know, with everybody being on the Internet, social media, where they don't even talk to anybody. And it was just an unbelievable story, you know, with the sex issues kind of undermined. But it was a great, great Twilight Zone, because there was so much empathy to the robot at the end. And it was an unbelievable story. I mean, I
got to look into that one. I thank you very much for that call. I didn't know about that. I hadn't read that one. Now, if we have a piece I did called Robots or Robots or Us, Robert, you pulled it before. Could Jim find it? Jim, do you have it ready to go? It was a fun thing I did a number of years ago. If we can't get to it right now, it's only a minute long. I did it many years ago. You got it, guys? This is a thing I did, a parody over 10 years ago, that is really, it fits perfectly today with this question of sex robots on the Savage Nation. Let's listen in and see what it was like.
This is Graham Hancock. I'm here outside of Disneyland. I'm at the International Clones R Us Convention. The violence is escalating as the clones are feeling more and more squeezed out of society. They want to be able to have their own day at Disneyland. They're chanting. Listen to these chants, ladies and gentlemen. It's very frightening.
Only clones! Only clones!
No normals! No normals! No normals!
Rallying the crowd is the world-famous Jesse Jacks clone.
Listen to me. Clones have rights too. You can't take rights away from clones. It's wrong. Immoral. You can't take rights away from clones. Clones are people too. Clones are somebody. Clones are somebody.
The clones are demanding their own special day at Disneyland. They want the normal people kept out so that they, the clones, can enjoy the day without the sneer and sneers of the regular human population. One can understand the feelings of the clones as they are peered upon by the normals.
Right! Clones want
rights! Give us our rights! Give us our diversity! Stop discriminating against clones! Clones are people too!
Ever since clones were introduced into our society, they feel that people have not accepted them because they aren't completely human. You must understand that clones need love too.
Clonism is wrong!
From Disneyland, this is Graham Hancock signing off. Back to you, Michael Savage.
I'm sorry, but, you know, just based on that piece alone, I should win the Radio Hall of Fame award. in the spoken word on-air personality thing. I'm going to talk more about it on June 20th when you can actually vote for me. But there's only four people who are competing for this award to be inducted into the National Radio Hall of Fame in this category. I will tell you right now, some of them have much larger audiences than I do. Nobody can match me in terms of creativity and genius. Nobody. And so if you want to vote for me, I'm going to tell you how to do it in June. It should be based on creativity, not upon how many people vote for you. But all right, look, things happen. The world is what it is. I'm honored just to have been nominated. And we'll go from there. So for some reason, the show today is not really about politics, or is it? Should prostitution be legalized? I don't know anything more political than that. But as I quoted earlier, Lord Chesterfield, who said the pleasure is momentary, the position ridiculous, and the expense damnable. Well, I improved on Lord Chesterfield's aphorism about sex, which I'm not going to repeat now on the Savage Nation because I'll be accused of plagiarizing myself. 855-400-7282. Chrissy on KSFO. You oppose legal prostitution. Good for you. Why?
Well, because I think that the more of these things that we legalize that are completely immoral, the more that it affects the kids. I'm a mother of two daughters, and I was for gay marriage. I was for 20 years a liberal, and I have come running back to the Republican Party as fast as I can. When my 13-year-old daughter came home from school and told me that her friends at school don't know if they're gay or straight, they're waiting to decide until they try both. And
well, that's the indoctrination of the psychos in our school system. They've made it so that children 5 years of age are declaring that they're gay and approaching doctors for sex change operations, with parents having coming out parties for 5-year-olds who want to change their sex. This is how sick this country has become.
Absolutely. So what happens when we legalize prostitution? Do I have my kids?
You're right. It's another step along the way. This is exactly what happens. You know what they say. Anyone who was not a liberal at 20 has no heart. Anyone who's still a liberal at 40 has no mind. Welcome to the club. I'm sending you Teddy and me for all those with hearts and minds. When I come back, more news, views, and reviews right here on The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Pope, the genius in the Catholic Church, the most brilliant Pope in the 1400 years, you know, he's the first non-European Pope handpicked out of nowhere. 1400 years, they always had a European Pope. Well, I went and dug one up from socialist South America, and now he's topped himself. Your Pope and the number one imam in the world embraced in an historic Vatican meeting. Isn't that nice? While radical Muslims are burning churches and killing Christians, committing a genocide against Christians in the Middle East, your Pope is kissing the top imam for the first time in the history of relationships between Catholics and Muslims. That's terrific. Now, why is Pope Francis welcoming the destruction of his religion? Does anyone have an answer to this? Four refugees with infectious TB sent to Indiana in 2015. Why does the power-mad president continue to do this? Anything else? Now, if you're a veteran, or you have a father or a grandfather or an uncle who's a veteran who's been waiting a long time to be treated at a VA hospital, you should keep the faith, baby, because the VA secretary, Bob McDonald, said that long hospital waits are equal to that of lines at Disneyland. That's right. Now, a statement like this would normally put somebody immediately out of their job. VA secretary Bob McDonald does not think that measuring the number of days it takes for a veteran to receive a medical appointment is a valid assessment of success for the Obama administration's VA. He said, no, no, no. He said the long lines at Disney theme parks are about the same. This genius said that when you go to Disney, do they measure the number of hours you wait in line for what's important? What's important, he said, is what's your satisfaction with the experience. That's the VA secretary, and any other administration, the man is thrown out of the job. But not here. There's another story out of Baltimore now. Remember, there was a big riot over there. They almost burnt the city to the ground because of Eric Holder, Al Sharpton, in my opinion, and all of the other racial motivators, the guys who have gasoline on their tongue. Well, we know the whole Freddie Gray story. He was not a doll. He died in a police van, and they've tried to burn a bunch of cops in Baltimore for having killed him on purpose, when we all know that that was a complete lie, provoked by the race haters, the race baiters, mainly the professional race baiters, and the result was horrendous. Nobody benefited when the streets were set on fire and the stores were trashed. And so the top cop in that case, a man who was not even in the streets at the time, was today found not guilty. You hear Freddie Gray arresting Officer Edward Nero found not guilty on all charges. That's because, remember, in order to be proven guilty in the United States of America, thank God even for you criminals out there, you know, there has to be no reasonable doubt, in plain English. If you can show reasonable doubt, you're innocent. Now, this man, the arresting officer, Edward Nero, was found not guilty on all counts by Baltimore City Council Court Judge Barry Williams. If you want to make it a racial thing, Barry Williams, the judge, was black. Nero, the officer, waived his right to a trial by jury. His bench trial began May 12th and final arguments were heard Thursday. In other words, he waived trial by jury because he knows the juries could be stocked with people who would have burned them. See, he threw his life really before the judge. And the officer trial was attended by a group of Baltimore City police officers, mostly in plain clothes. And after the verdict was read, they all came up to Officer Nero one by one, embracing him and patted him on the back. And Officer Nero was seen with tears in his eyes. It's an interesting story. If you remember the story, Freddie Gray, a 25-year-old man from the Sandtown area of Baltimore, died on April 19th of a spinal cord injury sustained while in police custody. Now, that's the AP version of it. But because the media exists because of racial hatred and setting people against each other and setting fires across America, they love to see Baltimore burn. It was very good for ratings. And, of course, the Occupy Now movement was there. The Black Lives Matter movement was there. And they burned and they looted. Of course, that was not commented upon by the vermin in the media. And so today's verdict fundamentally is a fair one. This guy did not do anything against this man, Freddie Gray. And he was found not guilty. This is our American system of justice. And police officers in this nation are afforded the same justice system as every other citizen in the city, state, and country, including those who break windows and burn buildings. And this case has come to an end. And the citizens of Baltimore should absolutely remember that if they start burning again, all they're going to do is confirm what everyone thinks about them to begin with, that they're nothing but an angry mob. And I think that Al Sharpton should be arrested for crossing state lines with the intent of starting a riot if he is seen anywhere on the border of the state of Baltimore. I'm not kidding you. There are federal laws on the books, and I've read them before, which prohibit crossing state lines for the sake of inciting a riot. Al Sharpton should have been arrested numerous times for this, but because he is above the law and because he is one of Obama's most loyal attack dogs, this man has not yet been arrested for inciting riots, in the estimation of yours truly, Michael Savage. Remember last Wednesday I did a show on psychedelic horror stories? You figured, what's he talking about? Psychedelics are good for you. After all, the government puts out the message that alcohol's bad and drugs are good. Banker jumped to his death yesterday after eating magic mushrooms. Terrible story. New York City, bright kid, Alex Slagowitz, jumps to his death out of his 26th-floor luxury Manhattan apartment after eating magic mushrooms. Kid is from Livingston, New Jersey, was a star golfer on the Colgate University team, took 4 grams of the magic mushrooms. His roommate, Max Kaplan, arrested, charged with criminal possession of a controlled substance for the remaining mushrooms found inside the apartment. This is a lost life because of the drug society we're living in. Now, I thought that we should talk about the post-legal age that we're living in. Because of Obama breaking virtually every law he could get away with in order to advance the socialist agenda, he's not so much a socialist as he is a power-mad man using socialism as a tool to advance his own power. But the question I asked myself was this. In this post-legal age, which crimes should be legalized? Should prostitution, for example, be legalized? Should all drugs be legalized? And why am I coming to this? Because I said we're living in a post-legal age. As a result of this criminal administration, a man who has virtually decriminalized virtually every crime, with the exception of homophobia and invented racism, what is left is a crime. And so I ask you, the audience, which crimes in America today should not really be crimes. Should prostitution be legalized? Should all drugs be legalized? Since we are now living in a post-legal America, where the law itself has been perverted and destroyed, which of the remaining vices, so-called, and crimes should be legalized? I also got a nice email that I never expected. People are putting down, they're saying, oh, the radio business is really in trouble. You know, companies are losing money, and there's no future in radio. I disagree, by the way. The business is the business, and business right now needs to be revised in many ways. But people are very down in the radio industry. I'm not. I'm rather bullish on radio. So I get an email from a gentleman at Cumulus that says, Michael, I have good news for you. You've been nominated for the Radio Hall of Fame. I said, oh, that's nice. Now, there are many categories in the Radio Hall of Fame nominations, and this category is the spoken word on-air personality, and there are only four nominees. I'm one of them. And on June 20th, I will tell you how you can vote for me. Public voting commences June 20th. On for the public, and you, the listeners of this show, you text a certain number with a certain code, and you say, I want Michael Savage to win the Radio Hall of Fame thing. But I won't have that for you till June 20th, okay? There's no guarantee I'm going to win, because there are people on the list who have much bigger shows than I do. And so I wouldn't hold your breath for that one. So I'm just mentioning to you it's coming, and that's important to me, and maybe it'll be important to you to mention that. Meanwhile, your president, the most power-mad president in American history, getting away with virtual murder and war, continues on his apology tour. And he lifted the decades-old arms ban in his first visit to Vietnam. And Larry King asked me about that, and I had an interesting answer. I didn't know I would be asked about it, but, you know, I'm a reasonably well-read man in the news business. I figured out what was going on here. So I said, well, I thought we were going to talk about Teddy and me.
What do you think about lifting the arms embargo in Vietnam?
I said, well, I'll tell you, now that I think about it, I think the sorority is trying to use Vietnam as a factotum against China. And he said, what do you mean by that? I said, well, because, look, I've said on my radio show over and over again that North Korea doesn't do anything without China telling them what to do. They are, I called them the junkyard dog of China, North Korea. And we don't really have any junkyard dogs in Asia, do we? And so now, by lifting the arms embargo, I said, on Vietnam, what we're doing is basically threatening China. Period. That's what I think. That's what Obama did. Years-long and very weak effort to counter China's influence in Asia. Instead of doing something as childish and as weak as that, that's really limp-wristed. If Obama really wants to punish Beijing and put them in their place, he needs to immediately put tariffs on Chinese goods and make them deal with their currency issues. But I'll talk more about that on the Savage Nation. Vietnamese leader quotes Ho Chi Minh in toast to the U.S. That's another story, but it's related to that. How do you feel about Obama lifting the arms ban on Vietnam? So, we're talking about the Baltimore cop found not guilty. I guess that's true. He was not guilty. We are talking about Obama giving weapons to Vietnam, what that means with regard to China, and how it's such an absurd movement on the part of the sorority. But that's what you'd expect from a sorority that is hard-focused on transgendered illegals rather than international affairs. In fact, the sorority is so compassionate towards transgenders that they've set up special housing for trans illegals. That shows you how compassionate Obama is. He's bringing in TB refugees into Indiana. They're giving special housing for trans illegals in Texas. What could be better? I mean, this is a compassionate man. He's a compassionate man. But I want to go back to my number one question today, which is, in this post-legal age where Obama has virtually blown up every law in the land, which of the remaining vices and crimes should be legalized? Should prostitution be legalized? Come on now. You have an opinion on that. Shouldn't prostitution be legalized? Shouldn't all drugs be legalized? So what if a guy threw himself out of his apartment in New York City after eating magic mushrooms? Wouldn't it have been better if, well, it was legal to eat magic mushrooms, then more kids could eat it. More people could experience the wonders of peyote. I mean, you people are living in the past if you think that magic mushrooms should be a controlled substance. And while you're at it, why don't you legalize heroin? Why don't you legalize crack? You really ought to clean up America by getting rid of all of these antiquated right-wing white laws. Because you well know that laws against drugs are passed by uptight old white men, and that everyone else wants drugs legalized. It's only the uptight old dying white men who are still stuck in the past with these laws, right? Prostitution should be legal. Heroin should be legal. Borders should be erased. Whatever you say, man, if it feels good, do it. Why not do it in the road? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Hey, if we have political puppets, why shouldn't we, or political robots, why shouldn't we have sex robots? I mean, the politicians basically are robots. They're not real. None of them say anything that's real. They're all in it simply for what they can get out of the system. So what's the difference if it's a sex robot? It's the same thing. We have a robotic president, like a puppet. Who knows who he answers to? Marching around the world like he owns the country, could do what he wants. So what's the difference? What's next? No morals, no center. A pope embracing the chief imam while the Muslims are burning churches doesn't say a word to him about it. Obama's presence in Hiroshima is an apology, says Michael Savage. So look, if you go on to michaelsavage.com, you can click a button and get a newsletter in your inbox for free a couple of times a week. And they're fundamentally summaries of short pieces of my show. And on Friday, I said that they said, will he apologize? I said, going to Hiroshima is an apology. So over the weekend, I don't watch the news anymore. I haven't for years. I will not watch local news. That became beyond belief 30 years ago. I couldn't watch it. I stopped with Peter Jennings 20 years ago, okay? Said I would watch Fox for years. I stopped when she cut her hair was the last straw. But I'm giving you like, steps along the crosses of the Appian Way here. I stopped watching Fox a long time ago. I find it boring, and there's no substance to it. There's no brain food. When I want to watch news, I go to RT television. I know it's from the Russian perspective, but there's a lot of independent news operators on it. Then I go to Japanese television, NDK or NHK television. So the other night I'm watching Japanese television, and there he is, our leader, our esteemed dear leader is in Japan, and he's sitting down with a newscaster. The first question the guy asks him is, did you come to Hiroshima to extend an apology? He didn't mince words with a big smile and a leg crossing and fingernails and a shoe dangling like on Fox News. They look like hookers on Fox News. This guy was straight up. Mr. Obama, did you come to Japan to offer an apology? Right off the bat. So naturally, the double-talking snake says, oh, no, no, no. No, no, no. I want a world without nuclear weapons. And there he goes on and on with his lies. Now, I said that his presence in Hiroshima, just the presence alone, is an apology. Okay? That's what I said. The visit itself is an implicit apology, particularly coming around the time of Memorial Day. And we did a whole debate over the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and I said it will go on for a long time. And as time goes on, more and more brainwashed youth in America will say, oh, no, we shouldn't have done it. It was evil, and we should wring our hands and should pay reparations to the Japanese. And that's because our media doesn't even show you who the Japanese were at the time. And then I continued. I said, don't take this as an anti-Japanese sentiment because I have the exact opposite view about the Japanese people. We're not talking about the Japan of today. We're talking about the Japan of yesterday, more specifically the atomic bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And I don't want to read you what I wrote based upon what I said. I think you can read it on my website, michaelsavage.com. You see? My friends, it's tied into all of the other acts of this most notorious of presidents, the most power-mad individual to have ever been foisted upon us. And there are many months to go. And look what Bush did in only the few waning months of his presidency. Now you can imagine what this one's going to do between now and December. Have a great night.